Hey there, it's Carl Richards, and one of the podcasts I listen to on a regular basis is the Work Less, Profit More Business Podcast with Diana Lidstone. It's the business podcast for lawyers, accountants, financial advisors, and other experts who want to hashtag work less and profit more. Your host, Diana Lidstone, gives you weekly tips, strategies, and special guests join her as well to help you simplify and scale your business. You'll find a link to the Work Less, Profit More Business Podcast in the show notes. Welcome to Podcast Solutions Made Simple. It's the podcast that's all about podcasting. I'm your host, Carl Richards. You know, in my 25 plus years in the broadcast and speaking world, I've noticed a lot of overwhelm when it comes to podcasting. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. If you're a coach, consultant, or other subject matter expert, and the thought of starting a podcast seems too technical, too confusing, too time-consuming, or just way out of your reach, then this is the podcast for you. On this show, we give you the tools, tips, and techniques to run a kick-ass show and share stories from people who have been there, done that, and are enjoying massive success with their own shows. Oh, and if you're an existing podcaster, this show is also for you. The mics are up, so let's dive into today's episode. And today we're talking about how to get the word out about your podcast. It sounds like it's glaringly obvious that once you launch a show, you start talking about it. But sometimes it's that one piece that can be forgotten. Sometimes we think that if we just build it, people will find our show. But no, we have to actually open our mouth and be speaking about our podcast and let people know. And there are many different ways to do that. So today we're going to do a dive into organic marketing. And our guest today is Brandon Leibowitz, who runs and operates SEO Optimizers. He's done that since 2007. They are a digital marketing company that focuses on helping small and medium-sized businesses get more online traffic, which in turn converts into clients, sales, leads, etc. And he does the same thing for podcasts too, because it's pretty much the same principle. So Brandon, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on today.
I'm so thrilled to have somebody who has expertise in this step on the show and talk about this, because it's something that I've talked about forever. And that's, I think there's a misconception when people start podcasts that they have to spend money on ads and tons of money on ads, because if they don't, then people won't know that they have a podcast. But that's just not the case. There's this whole thing called organic marketing. So in your words, what is organic marketing, or what constitutes organic marketing?
That would be just getting people to listen to your podcast if you're focused on podcasting, or get them to download it or watch it, or whatever that conversion goal is, if you want them to sign up for your email list, whatever that is. But you're just getting people to your website or your podcast without spending money on ads. So trying to just drive that free traffic to your website or wherever it may be through different channels. You could do like email marketing or social media marketing. You could do search engine optimization, get word of mouth, do whatever it is. But as long as you're not spending money on ads, that would be the organic type of marketing and getting that awareness.
Now, some of this obviously goes to content and how we structure our content. But like you said, there's ways that we get the word out. And I also think there's a misconception to what organic marketing is. And a lot of people think organic marketing is just talking about the fact that you have a podcast. And word of mouth is, of course, is great. But what are some of the top level or the first things that you should be doing as far as organic marketing above and beyond just talking about it?
Well, you definitely need to get that podcast distributed. So using a distribution website like Buzzsprout or Anchor or whatever you want to use to get it out there. But you got to make sure you get on all the different platforms. I would, if you have a video, take that video, throw it up on YouTube, throw it up on Facebook video separately, on Instagram separately, on Twitter separately, because they're all competitors. If you just share that YouTube video on Facebook, it's not going to get the same traction as natively uploading it to Facebook. And so you want to take that video, cross-promote it to as many different platforms as possible. You can share it on Vimeo. And if there's other more niche ones that are related to your industry, that'd be great too, because you don't need to be on all the big sites. You just need to be in front of your audience. And if your audience isn't on any of those sites, then it's not really necessary. I mean, it's okay to post it, but you really need to understand who your audience is, where are they, and how do I get in front of them when they're actively searching for me or looking.
I had a question about this, because when we're posting separately, does the wording matter? Like, is there specific wording that I should be considering for, say, for example, sharing it on Facebook versus sharing it on LinkedIn? Does the wording of how I schedule my post, or not schedule it, but phrase it, does that matter on the various platforms?
little bit. I mean, because each one's going to give you different amounts of character space. So like Twitter, you don't get much space. You get 240 characters, whereas Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, you could have really long posts, but they're not going to show all that post. They might show a couple sentences or a couple hundred characters, and then you have to click to show more. So you got to figure out what can you put in the couple sentences that people actually see, because that's what's going to get them to want to read more or click to your website or download your podcast or whatever that conversion goal is. But it's going to be slightly different for the most part, because the way people search and use those platforms is going to be different. Like for Twitter and Instagram, you definitely should use hashtags. All the other platforms use them, but they kind of are late adapters. So you could use it on Facebook, but not many people are using or searching hashtags on Facebook as they are on Instagram or Twitter or TikTok or sites like that.
All of these things you're mentioning, they're applicable to social media, but we should also be aware that probably one of the organic ways too, that if we're not already doing this, we should be doing this, is our email list. And if we don't have an email list, we should probably build one and get one started soon.
Definitely. Email is probably the most powerful form of marketing, because you have full control of that email list. Social media, you don't own any of that stuff. So you're posting on YouTube, you're posting on Facebook, you're giving them that content, you don't own that. And they can take you down at any time and they don't have much reach. Whereas email, you have 10,000 people on that email list. You send them an email, all 10,000 people are going to get it. Hopefully it doesn't go in spam, but they're going to get that email, hopefully read it, see it, and that's going to get you a lot more traction versus just hoping that people are going to see on social media. Because you could have 10,000 followers or likes on Facebook, but only 5% of those people will ever see what you post on Facebook without you having to click that blue button where it says boost this post up and advertise. So essentially, you don't get that full reach. So email, whatever you need to do, start collecting emails, give out something for free. If you're an e-commerce website or like selling product, maybe you give them like a discount code. If you're more service-based business, you could try to give them like a free course or ebook or some incentive, because people aren't just going to give their email addresses out for free. You got to give them something in return. So it's got to get creative. Maybe look at what other competitors or other podcasters are doing and get ideas from them. But you definitely need to start sooner than later with those emails, collecting them.
That's a fantastic point that you make there. And you're right. I mean, email is yours. And I think we can all agree that we hate getting those emails and the spam, like 12 emails a day. But this is a little bit different. You'll build your list and your list should be of your followers. And that list will continue to grow as you nurture that list. But that is something that you can control, is getting the word out to that list. And what you can't control is social media and algorithms and things like that. But you can certainly utilize them to your advantage. And still, you want to make sure that you're on all those social channels, of course. What are some of the challenges, or what are some of the mistakes that you're finding when you're helping people in this area that people make when they're promoting their shows? Is there anything that they're missing or things that they're forgetting to do?
I mean, there's all these little technical things, like Google can't read images or videos or audio, or most of these platforms can't. So what they look at is like your file name of your podcast or the video before you upload it to any platform should not just be podcast001.mp4, whatever. Name it with descriptive words, because that really helps out. Any images, name those descriptive words before you upload them to any platform, because that's what they read, is the image, the file name. They can't understand the audio or the video yet. They're getting better, but they're not there yet. So if you have video, like if you upload to YouTube, they'll try to transcribe it, but it's not perfect. So if you could transcribe it and add, or if it's like a really long podcast, maybe just summarize it and have some timestamps in there, but just having text, because that's what they all feed off, is text. They struggle with the audio or video yet for now. They're getting better, but right now, the more you spoon feed them and help them out, the better off they're going to be. But especially the title, titles of a podcast or a blog post or an article or a video or whatever it is, the title needs to have keywords that describe what that episode is about. And you get about 60 characters. After that, most of the platforms kind of cut it off and stop looking. So you want to try to squeeze as many keywords as possible without repeating yourself and making sure it flows and makes sense. And you do keyword research too, using tools. Well, every platform is going to be different, but Google has the Google Keyword Planner. It's a free tool that will show you how many people actually search for keywords every single month. So you can figure out, is this a good keyword or is this a bad keyword? Maybe I should use a synonym or plural. And YouTube has their own keyword research tool, and a lot of these platforms will offer it. So definitely want to do the keyword research. You don't want to just guess, because guessing could lead you in the wrong direction.
So this is all fantastic. And this all leads to making sure that we're getting
the traction that we want, which in turn means we're getting the SEO. How important is this, really? How critical are some of the things that you've just talked about?
They all help get you to that next level. If you're trying to stand out and get new people to check your podcast out, if you're just doing the same thing that everyone else is doing, you're not going to get much traction, visibility. But if you go above and beyond and do the little things that I mentioned, that's going to really help out. And that's going to just help you get more exposure, ranking you higher on like iTunes or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify. But ultimately, you should try to have your own website, because all those platforms are just like social media. You don't really own them. So websites, you have full control of that. That's yours forever. You get to control it, and you should have every episode of your podcast uploaded to your website on a separate page. If you're doing guests, you could share that link with them instead of saying, hey, here's your podcast on Spotify. I'm going to share that Spotify link. I'm just going to help Spotify get more people to their website. Whereas if you say, here's a link to the podcast on my website, I'm going to share that on my social media, and I might possibly share that on my own website and just drive more traffic to your website, because ultimately you want to get people to your website. All these other platforms are just to get people to find you, but ultimately you want them to leave those platforms and go onto yours, because there's too many distractions, there's too much noise, there's advertisements, there's a lot of things going on that will distract people and get them to forget about you really quickly. But if they're on your website, then you have a little bit more control and try to get that email address and try to really have more control. Whereas on Spotify, you don't get much. You get a couple sentences for a description and a title and an image, but other than that, there's not much that you can really customize.
And they're all important. Brandon isn't saying don't do them. He's saying that just be aware and hear the tips and tricks on how to do this. Once we've mastered organic marketing, then I guess we can go in, if we want to, we can go into paid advertising. But there's another thing about organic marketing that I wanted to have you talk about. And that's, once we've done all of these things and we're not getting the traction that we want, what are some of the things we can do to, I guess, automate our show, so it's not just being put out there once and then it goes into the podcast directories? And I call that the, well, I've done it once and now the podcast gods are going to make sure it gets some traction. No. What's the benefits of using some automation sequencing to help get the word out?
Well, if you're not getting any traction, first you have to look at the keywords that you're using, and the title and the description are very, very important. Every platform is going to call it different, but you could add keywords or tags, and those are going to help get you some extra traction. Because if you're not utilizing them, if you're just throwing a podcast up there and hitting submit and you're not filling all that information out, you're not naming the podcast file name with keywords, you're not naming the image that you use for the cover image with keywords, you're really missing out on just low hanging fruit, where it only takes a few minutes to do that stuff. And most people don't even think about it or don't know how important it is to do those things. But once you share it on all those platforms, using like Buzzsprout, get you on all those directories, ultimately you should post it on your website and share that podcast website on all your social media channels. You can share it on social platforms like Reddit, share it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, LinkedIn, TikTok. And you could automate all that using tools like Zapier or Hootsuite or Buffer and things like that, where once you post it on your website, it just goes everywhere. I mean, that's what I do for my own social media. Anytime I post on Instagram, it goes to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn. It goes to my own website. So once you post on Instagram, it just goes to like 10 different places automatically using Zapier or other tools like that, that really save hours of time every single day.
How user-friendly are some of these automation tools like Zapier and some of the others that you mentioned? Are they easy to set up, or is there a process to do it? But once it's done, it's done.
There's a little bit of a process, but they'll walk you through it and they'll offer free support. So they're happy to support you. And Zapier doesn't really charge until you use a certain amount of Zaps every single month. And they'll walk you through how to do it all for free, which is pretty nice of them. So it is a little technical, but they'll show you step by step how to do it, because I know how to do it. And I have people that are not tech savvy that are able to set it up.
Awesome. Anything else in the marketing space that people should know, be it organic or be it automation, that you like to share with people as tips or tricks?
I mean, you just kind of scratch the surface. There's so much more word of mouth, like putting it in your email signature, trying to get as many people aware of it as possible, just trying to get creative, looking at your competitors and seeing what they're doing, because that's going to be the best, is trying to think outside the box, but definitely look at your competition. And you can spy on them by searching their podcast name in Google or searching the podcast name on other platforms and see how frequently they're podcasting, how long they're doing it for. So you can kind of get ideas. Should I do short form, long form? But ultimately, you want to take a step back and put yourself in the user's point of view. If you were looking for a podcast that you're offering, how much time would you want to allocate? Would you want to sit there for 2 hours, 1 hour, 15 minutes, 30 minutes? So try to pretend that you're looking for your podcast and try to just tailor to them and talk to other people as much as possible. Get suggestions, read the reviews, get feedback. I mean, reviews don't really matter too much for ranking, but the keywords in reviews matter really, really, really important, which a lot of people don't realize is, well, for any platform, for Yelp, for Google Maps, for Spotify, for any of these platforms, the number of reviews doesn't really matter. If someone could write a review and put keywords in it, that's going to really shoot you up. So if someone says, oh, great interview, so useful, informative, that doesn't do much. But if they say, I was looking for a podcast about marketing and we listened with Brandon Leibowitz and he gave me tips on SEO and social media, I mean, that would be a great review because then it throws all these extra keywords in that review. But ultimately, just be patient with everything. It all takes time. So just keep working at it and building it up and don't expect immediate results. Unfortunately, some people go viral, but it usually takes time to get that traction going.
That's a really good tip, though, about reviews, because I would not have thought that reviews had to have those keywords in it. I would have thought that, you know, a star rating with a review would somehow trigger. But so the keywords matter in the review, in the actual review itself as well.
Yep. So I know like Spotify, I don't think you could write a review, but on iTunes, maybe you could write a review. But like if you search on Google for like a dentist near me, you'll see on the maps, number one could have 5 reviews. Number two could have 50 reviews. Number three could have 500 reviews. It's not necessarily the reviews or the number of reviews. I mean, for people, it looks good. The more reviews you have, the better it's going to look for people. But for the algorithms, they're really looking for the keywords in the reviews. That's going to really help move you up significantly.
Brandon, this has been phenomenal information. Brandon Leibowitz has been my guest today. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about your podcast very quickly, SEO Optimizers. Tell me about the show.
It's more of just my classes over the years I've thrown up there is a podcast because a couple of years ago, couldn't really do classes in person. So I had to do them on Zoom. And when I did my classes on Zoom, I realized it records the audio and the video separately. So I was like, all right, maybe I should just take the audio, throw it up there. And it's kind of a podcast, not really, but it's just a bunch of classes I've done over the years that show you how to do a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about, that shows you step-by-step how to do SEO, how to do keyword research, how to build backlinks, how to look at Google Analytics, how to do Facebook marketing, how to do Instagram. I have one about Twitter, one about YouTube, one about LinkedIn, and a ton of those classes up there. So they want to see step-by-step. Well, I would say watch my videos or you could listen to it, but I'd say watch them because then I really show you how to do a lot of that marketing and the organic side and even some paid ads for like Google ads and things like that.
Fantastic. And we're going to make sure that the link to the podcast as well as all of Brandon's other links are in the show notes and his bio as well. Before I let you go, Brandon, I'm going to give you the final thought.
I would just say be patient with it all. It takes time, digital marketing, and there is no constant. There's always change with digital. And for everyone that's listening or watching, I did create a special gift for them. So if they want to go to my website, they could check that out at SEOoptimizers.com. That's SEOoptimizers.com/gift. And I've thrown all those classes up there for free so they could watch them at any time and see step-by-step again how to do a lot of that stuff that we've been talking about.
Brandon, thank you so much for your gift. And thank you for taking the time to join us on the show today.
Thank you for having me on today.
And thank you for joining us today. Special thanks to our producer, Aiden Burrows, our production lead, Kieran Doherty, our music guru, Nathan Simon, and the person who works the arms, all of our arms, actually, my trusty assistant, Stephanie Gafford. If you like what you heard today, leave us a comment and a review, and be sure to share it with your friends. If you don't like what you heard, please share it with your enemies. Oh, and if you have a suggestion of someone who you think would make an amazing guest on the show, let us know about it. Drop us an email, askcarl@carlspeaks.ca. Don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter as well. You'll find all those links in the show notes. And if you're ready to take the plunge and join the over 3 million people who have said yes to podcasting, let's have a conversation. We'll show you the simplest way to get into the podcasting space because, after all, we're podcast solutions made simple. We'll catch you next time.